line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSIN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Michael out in the great state of New Jersey. How are we doing today this morning here on April 21st? Good morning.
God, I can't believe it's April 21st, but we're doing great. I mean, what? We had a great NBA day yesterday, got to watch all the games and enjoyed all of them, and think it's kind of interesting how it's all going back and forth. Anthony Edwards was spectacular yesterday. Wow. That was amazing. And again, a team that's built for with three great players might not make it past the first round. So, you know, one of the things I learned a lot from Femi watching the NBA is team building and how to put together the team the right way and how all the pieces have to operate, which is what the NFL is all about as well. So there's a lot of enjoyment in watching those games.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Playoff basketball, it's so much different than regular season. Like, I love the regular season just because I love the NBA, but the playoffs is a whole nother level. And you see it with the atmospheres, the crowds. I mean, the crowd at the Garden yesterday afternoon here on the West Coast was just unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Like, see, like, you get the defense chance on every single possession. Like, that's the stuff that we love with the NBA basketball. That's why we fell in love with this sport way back when, because we come and see it in the playoffs, and you see the intensity ratchet up quite a bit here. We're going to talk a lot of playoff basketball. We obviously have some drafts of this is the final weekend before the draft. The draft just 4 days away. Our buddy Tim Murray, in 30 minutes from now, host of VSiN Primetime, he'll let us know what he's confident in this draft process. I'm not confident in much, Michael, other than the fact that Caleb Williams is going to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. It's who knows? And we're 4 days away. Still a lot to unpack with this NFL draft coming up here Thursday, the first round in the Motor City in Detroit. And then in hour number two, Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of VSiN Primetime, will join us. We'll break down the NBA JVT, our senior NBA analyst here at VSiN, and we'll get his thoughts on his Clippers. Are they being overlooked? Everyone I talk to, Michael, just loves Dallas. Pencil Dallas into the second round. Kawhi's hurt. Dallas is going.
Yeah.
Could the Clippers provide some resistance? We'll ask JVT that in hour number two. The Clippers now underdogs, despite having home court advantage in that series to the Dallas Mavericks. But I do want to start with what we saw yesterday at MSG, at the Mecca. The New York Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers 111-104. The Knicks go ahead and cover as a 4.5-point favorite. The game goes over the total of 208.5. I know you're a Sixers fan. There was a scare there late in the first half with Embiid on a really like remarkable play. Throw it off the glass, dunks it. It looked like he was done for the rest of the season, if not the rest of the playoffs. He comes back in the game, but too little too late there for the Philadelphia Sixers as the Knicks take game one.
Well, I mean, look, Embiid had, what did he play? 40 minutes? He had 8 rebounds the entire day. The Knicks had 23 offensive rebounds in the game. The 76ers had 24 defensive rebounds. I mean, how are you beating anybody with that? The Knicks shot 45% from the field in the three-point line. I mean, it was truly a remarkable effort by the Knicks in terms of how they controlled the board. Mitchell Robinson had 13 rebounds. 8 of them came on the offensive end. And so, you know, Embiid did come back. Now there's some doubt whether he'll play Monday night. You know, they're all going to say he is. He didn't come to the post-game media session, so who knows? And when it comes down to his injuries, you know, everybody says, well, they should rest him for next season. Rest him for next season? Like at some point, when is somebody going to say this guy's always hurt? Like, when is somebody going to say the obvious, right? Like, they got dominated on the offensive board. They have the greatest center in the history of basketball. If you listen to all these pundits talk about it, you know, oh, he's the greatest center of all. And he had 3 defensive rebounds the entire day. So, I mean, it's just comical. You know, what makes it even more comical, Femi, and we're going to talk about it on the GM Shuffle, which I can't wait. And we're going to talk about it on draft day with Tim Murray, who's going to be joining us on the Thursday show. Mm-hmm. And we're going to cover the first round. But what's remarkable is how this illusion that the 76ers have been a class organization by Josh Harris. I mean, they're gonna lose to the Knicks. Trust me, they're not tough enough to beat the Knicks. The Knicks dominate the offensive glass. They have all year. That's their strength. They'll lose to the Knicks in this series. And where are they? They haven't gone past the second round ever. So it's just, to me, it's just another one of those. The narrative, well, he's hurt, you know, and he can't play. You know, fourth quarter, I posted it. Did you see his fourth quarter shooting? 0-for-5 in the fourth. He's exhausted. The guy can't run up and down the court. When is somebody going to say it? Besides me and Mitch Moss, I saw Mitch Moss's tweet yesterday. Thank God. Like, at some point, great talent. Love him. Respect the hell out of him. Great talent. Doesn't work hard. Not in shape. When you're not in shape, you always get hurt. It just goes in every sport. I'm sick of it. It just drives. I watched Rudy Gobert yesterday, Femi, and it was driving me nuts. Rudy Gobert was working his ass off, up and down the court, making plays, rebounding, dominating the glass. Like, and then you watch Embiid, and oh, he's so great. He's so great. Because he can turn and hit a jumper. He took 8 3-pointers, Femi, of 21 shots. He's 7 feet two, 250 pounds, and he's shooting 3-pointers like he's you know, like he's some point guard. Give me a break. Stop. Stop.
Embiid yesterday, 8 of 22 from the field. Obviously, that's not what you want there. 11 of 12 from the free throw line, 29 points, only 8 rebounds, like you mentioned. But I think a lot of fans will look at the box scores and they'll say, well, the Sixers with Embiid in those 36 minutes, they were plus 14. Without him, they were minus 21 in the 12 minutes. I mean, I hear you on Embiid, but they also need Tobias Harris. They need Buddy Hield. They need those guys to step up if they want any chance of competing in this series, because it's not going to be on the back of Joel Embiid. Maybe he stands out there as a decoy or whatever, but clearly, like, he's gassed or he's hurt or he's a combination of the both. It can't all just be on Tyrese Maxey. Those other guys have to sort of step up, and they were kind of on milk cartons yesterday afternoon.
The guy's 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter, you know, when they needed him most, when they got back. I mean, Kyle Lowry got him back in the game. And so they, you know, when they were there, to me, look, Tobias Harris has been one of the worst contracts in the history of contracts, right? I mean, when they decided, I mean, this is where I go crazy on the Josh Harris, such a great organization. You know, how many mistakes? I could fill this whiteboard up with their mistakes. Like, they picked Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. Like, that's a colossal mistake. You know, they picked Zaire Smith over Miles Bridges. That's a colossal mistake. They picked Markelle Fultz over whoever else and gave up a first. Those are colossal mistakes. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so, you know, for me, it's like it just continues to go on. But give the Knicks credit. Look, they're tough-minded. Yeah. Josh Hart was sensational and makes all those, you know, make key three-pointers at the game. You know, McBride's, you know, where'd he come from? All of a sudden, he's dominating. Look, Thibodeau knows. Trust me, I know Thibodeau really well, and Thibodeau knows he's got the tougher team. He knows it.
Yeah, and you saw that the way that, like, every time the Sixers made it close in that fourth quarter, then Josh Hart's making the three-pointer. And this is the same Josh Hart who, like he's not known for three-point shooting, but he goes 4 for 8 from beyond the arc. A couple of just dagger threes. OG Anunoby, he hit an open three to kind of seal the game as well. As you mentioned, Deuce McBride, 21 points off the bench there. But I think Mitchell Robinson was probably the unsung hero of that game for the New York Knicks. The 12 rebounds that he had, the 4 blocks, and just making Embiid have to work and tiring him out, and then knowing that in the fourth quarter he won't have anything left in the tank there. A great job by the New York Knicks to go ahead and win and cover. And Jalen Brunson didn't even play that well. It's probably as poorly as Brunson will play all series.
You know, it's funny. I got a direct message on Twitter from a guy that listens to our podcast, and he's a huge Jet fan. And, you know, he's a classic Jet fan, right? He's always believes that it's going to come down to and win. And he went to the Garden last night, and at 6:34, he sends me a message and says, I'm at MSG. Embiid is tired already. There's 7 minutes left in the first quarter, and he's already laboring. They're his words, not mine, right? Doris Burke said he was exhausted in pregame warmup. Like, when are the Kendrick – what are these people that are so-called experts in the NBA going to say, the guy's not in shape? Why do they keep saying, oh, he's injured? Why do you think he's injured, Femi? Why do you think he's injured?
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
You know, the best part about this is the NBA is so stupid. They're going to put the 76ers Nick game on against the first round of the NFL draft. Like, that's the most ridiculous thing of all time, right? But at least you and I'll be able to sit in the studio and watch it, and we can watch him labor together.
We can watch it together. It's like a couple years ago. I think the Sixers had a playoff game during the draft. We can watch it together here at the Circus Sportsbook. We're excited to have you out here in Las Vegas later on this week. You mentioned Joel Embiid. On the other side of things, in the Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Lakers game, Nikola Jokic, the guy who's going to win MVP this year, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists on 15 of 23 shooting. The Denver Nuggets, that's starting five, all five players in double figures. they just have too much for the Lakers. Like, I think the Lakers are actually a good team, but Denver is just at another level. And I don't want to say that it's inevitable that they come out of the Western Conference, but you watch them play. If they're able to stay healthy, I don't see who's beating them out West.
Well, all starting five players were plus in the plus minus area, right?
Yep.
That was remarkable. Only Jamal Murray was plus nine. That was the lowest one they had. And the fact, look, I think this is a classic example. I talk about it all the time about NFL teams. The Lakers are probably a really good 38 minute team.
Yep.
Played the first quarter. You know, they're playing well, but they just don't have enough juice, right? They can't get enough. They don't have enough. And when you start adding up that LeBron James is playing 41 minutes, Anthony Davis played 45. I mean, you know, if this goes long, the more minutes they stack on one another, the less effective they're going to become. And they have no bench. I mean, they have no bench. So, yeah, I mean, that's why seven-game series are so good to determine who the best team is. Because could the Lakers beat the Nuggets in one game? Yes. Can they beat them over a seven-game series? I think it's fairly obvious they can't.
Yeah, we saw it last year. Even though those games were competitive, like three of the four of those games last year in the Western Conference Finals were single digits with 2 minutes to go. But eventually Denver just wears them out, and they were able to wear them out in that third quarter, 32-18. That was the difference in this game. The Nuggets go ahead and get a 114-103 victory. They cover as 6.5-point favorites. Game goes under the total. And like you mentioned it, LeBron and Anthony Davis played pretty much as well as they could play at their given ages now. And just didn't matter because the Nuggets are just a little bit too much. We'll talk more about that series as we roll along. But on the other side, who's lying? NFL draft season is in full flex. We'll discuss it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We have an Eastern Conference Finals rematch in the NBA first round. And if you haven't checked it out already over at VSiN.com, our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, has written up about it with predictions on how he sees this Celtics-Heat series playing out. Game one tips off in a little less than 3 hours now over at the TD Garden in Boston. It'll be a Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat in that series. Make sure you check it out, VSiN.com, the new revamped VSiN website. Check it out right now. Got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber as well. Subscribe at VSiN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line rolling along here on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. Tim Murray of VSiN Primetime will join us 15 minutes from now to discuss the NFL draft. Once again, 4 days away from the first round, Thursday night in the Motor City. And with 4 days out to this thing, Michael, I'm not sure what the hell is going to happen at this NFL draft. Caleb Williams is going one after that. Cool. We'll sit back and eat the popcorn, and I'll be surprised the rest of the way here. Before we get into what some of the comments of these general managers and what they've been saying, I do think it's interesting. We had a little bit of this discussion on our GM Shuffle podcast that released on Thursday. We encourage everybody to go ahead and find that wherever they get their podcasts. Where is a lot of the information that we're getting this weekend and early next week? Where is that coming from? Because I think that is important to kind of try to decipher between whether it's the teams or this is the agents or whoever this is. Like, where is a lot of the info that's coming from that we're going to get over these next couple of days?
Oh, I think, you know, up until this point, it's all been from the agents, Femi. And I agree with you completely. You're right. I mean, there's nobody know. It's like the Sopranos episode. Nobody knows nothing, right? Everybody's kind of guessing at this point. In fact, you know, if you noticed when last week Adam Schefter went on a Washington podcast, you know, one of those, you know, I don't know what it was called, but he went on there and he said, "Hey, get your Jaden Daniels jerseys ready." And the number moved, I think, up to -350 for him to be the second pick overall. But over the course of some events, when all four players were back in D.C. to spend time, word leaked out that maybe, and this could be coming from the agents, that Jaden Daniels didn't have a good visit. Okay. And all of a sudden, I don't know what his number is now to go number two overall, but it started to go back down again.
Yep.
And
-150.
There is a lot of people with. Now it's down to -150, okay? Well, I thought it was -190. Now it's down to -150. And there's a lot of people in the league. I got a phone call the other day that a lot of people in the league think this is all coming because the kid wants to play for the Raiders, that he's trying to sabotage. Now, this is all hearsay, right? He's trying to sabotage his visits. He's trying to pretend he wants to go and be reunited with Antonio Pierce and Marvin Lewis, both who were at Arizona State with him. I mean, I don't know what to read into that. I really don't. I do know there's some things that players want to do. Are the Raiders willing to trade up to 3? I don't know. But I think what it's trying to do is get the Washington football team to kind of move off of them. Will it work? Who knows? Is it true? I don't know. I think Ian Rappaport, give him credit. He even admitted the other day, I don't even know what's going to happen in this draft. So there's no certainty.
Yeah, which is why it was so strange that a week ago or so he was out to minus 350. Because it's like, hey, like, are we sure? Like, I know everyone's mocking him to the Commanders at number 2. If you read any mock draft, more often than not, it's going to have Daniels going 2, which is what has sort of driven this market over the past 6 weeks or so. But until something is concrete, like, that, the price is just never justified, which is why we've gone back to minus 150. But even though that we've gone back to minus 150, I say all that to say that he could still go to the Commanders. Like this doesn't mean that he's not going to be drafted there. And who knows what's real out there with all the stuff that he could be trying to tank. I feel like that works more in the NBA, where you can kind of tank and be like, hey, like, I don't want to go to this team. Let me not give them my medicals. Let me not do that. That doesn't seem like an NFL team. I guess it's happened, like Eli Manning, but like that was a whole different situation. That's not what this is. But I mean, I just think that this could maybe be a CJ Stroud situation all over again, to where, I mean, this time last year, we were all trying to figure out where Stroud going to go. And it was to number 2 overall to the Houston Texans. Like, the owner just stepped in and said, this is my guy. Let's go ahead and take him. Is that what's sort of going to happen here with the Commanders? I mean, Adam Peters, we believe, is in full control of this organization. That's what Josh Harris, he wanted to kind of empower him with that. It was why they hired Dan
Quinn. Really well. That works well with That works great for the 76ers. Wait till I tally that up anyway. You have to remind me of that. Thanks, Remy. I appreciate you. Yeah, it's really worked well.
The winning culture that he's built
really
in Philadelphia.
It's really worked well having that GM in control. Brian Colangelo, Sam Hinkie, you know, we got, you know, the owner. I mean, it's really worked well. I couldn't look at a better organization, how they're put together. It's just, I marvel at it. I really do. I'm so fortunate to be a 76er fan. I love it so much. But let's put things in context here, okay? So let's just play a game for a second, you and me. Mm-hmm. Let's say that the Washington football team, the Commanders or whatever the hell they want to call themselves, decides to take Drake May at 2, all right? So now that leaves the 3rd pick available. And say that Elliot Wolf, who says he's open for business, is open for business. So to go from 13 to 3, right, that's going to require probably 1,000 points. 1,000 points is the midpoint of the first round. Okay, that would be the midpoint of the first round.
Yep.
So how do you – now, if Minnesota wants to go up there, they have more arsenal. So it's ideal for New England to be in that position. So what would the Raiders have to pay to get there? And I think that's really – and you're going to have to overpay. It's not going to be just 1,000 points, right? It's not going to just be the standard trade value chart. It's going to be above and beyond. You're paying a tax. This is like when you borrow from a loan shark. You know, you're not getting the 7% rate you get at the bank. You're getting a 28% rate, right?
Yeah.
So, and you got to pay on time and you got to pay the VIG. And that's where it's going to come down to. And I think that's what's the interesting thing right now. Will Mark Davis sign off on it? Will Tom Telesco, who has the control of the pick, want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Would he want to do that? When they signed Gardner Minshew, that was like a little bit out of left field, not for maybe the people making the decisions, but I think for a lot of other people around the league. So, you know, you got Minshew. They have a really bad, you know, they need offensive linemen, which is, I think, if they stay at 13, that's where they'll go. But for me, you know, that's what makes this so intriguing, is can they get up there or can Minnesota get up there? I think all those things are in play, and that's why we really don't know.
Can the Patriots afford to walk away with this without one of the top quarterback prospects? Because even if they were to trade down to 11 or to 13, they could still theoretically get a guy, whether it's Bo Nix or Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy, whoever happens to be there. Like, what do you think the sentiment would be around Patriots fans? We have a lot of them who are listening right now and watching on NESN. If they move out of that spot and Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, staring them right in the face and they say, you know what, we're going to bail and go ahead and pick maybe Bo Nix at 11 or 13.
You know, well, first of all, I think if they pick Bo Nix at 11 or 13, they're probably overreaching, I would suspect. You know, obviously Denver has been linked to Bo Nix, but not at 12. I could see Denver trading down to pick Bo Nix. I mean, Denver has one quarterback on their roster, Jarrett Stidham. So Denver's not coming out of this draft without a quarterback. I can just promise you that. If they do, then who are they signing to be the backup, right? You got to ask yourself that question. What's the alternative for Denver? What's the alternative for New England? They have Jacoby Brissett, but that's all they have. So those two teams, New England and Denver, are parallel in the sense that if they don't come out of this draft with some prospect, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't come out of this with a prospect at quarterback, where do they go? Do they go back to the market again and sign another veteran quarterback to back up Brissett? That doesn't sound right. You know, obviously they would like more picks in New England. But New England, to me, has to get that young quarterback as you're starting this new regime. I just don't think you could trade down and risk J.J. McCarthy being there, because I think J.J. McCarthy is well-liked by a lot of teams. And I think somebody will trade up to 6-5 with the Chargers to get him, to get ahead of the Giants, if the Giants are going to pull the pin on a quarterback.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the New York Giants, because their general manager, Joe Sane, said that they have no pressure to take a quarterback in this year's NFL draft, saying, quote, with Drew Locke's experience, he started games and played, and Daniel's experience and what Tommy did last year and another year in the system, Tommy has come a long way. I think we can go into the season with the three that we have, and I'd feel comfortable with that. Cutlets has come a long way, Michael. What are you laughing about?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I didn't know he said he put Cutlets in there.
He put him in there.
Having experience and being able to win doesn't help you at all. Like, seriously, you know, you can have all the experience you want. I mean, Andy Dalton's got experience. How's that working out for the teams that put him in the game, right? You know, I mean, Mike Glennon had a ton of experience. How's that working out when they put him in the game? I mean, that's such a bad answer. I mean, you seriously, you're going to stand in front of the New York media and try to convince people Cutlets is going to be able to make the sandwich? Come on.
they got that Monday night game against the Packers on loop in Joe Shane's office. That's all they're watching. And everyone's chanting, Tommy, Tommy. That was the height of his powers, Tommy Cutlets. Also knocked a lot of people out of Survivor. But we don't need to rehash all that stuff there. But, hey, General Manager Joe Shane says he's confident in their quarterback room. Well, that's Tim Murray on the other side about this stuff. Host of VSiN Primetime. He is waist deep into the draft betting. We'll get his thoughts on it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Great time to take advantage of that. Got four more NBA playoff games today. We got NHL playoff games as well. A great time to be diving into all the bets here. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Thank you to Tim Murray, who joined us in the last segment. By the way, Tim, of course, as we mentioned 15 minutes ago, will be with us on draft night, 8 to 11, 5 to 8 West Coast time. He'll be here all throughout the first round. We'll be breaking it down. Michael, Tim, myself, it's going to be a whole lot of fun draft night. And if the Atlanta Falcons pick another pass catcher at 8, I want to see the reaction from Michael Lombardi, because I think that would just be unreal if they ended up taking a pass catcher. But who knows what the Falcons are going to do. We know that brass is known for building winning organizations. So we'll see what happens there with the Falcons. We got to take them at their word.
21 wins in 3 years. Yeah. You know, Rich McKay's gone to the playoffs 7 times, and he's one game over 500 in his career. But of course, you know, in Rich we trust. That's what Falcon fans all say. So we love it.
It's the model organization in the NFL. We talked a lot of Commanders in the last segment. We've talked a lot of Commanders throughout this draft process, because they sort of hold the keys to this draft and the rest of the way here, picking at number 2. And Jaden Daniels right now, -150 to be the second overall pick. Drake May, +125. J.J. McCarthy, 18-1. as we sit here on Sunday, Michael, 4 days away from the first round of the NFL draft, how many people do you think know what the Commanders are going to do with the second overall pick?
I would say probably Quinn, Josh Harris, and, well, they got such a huge front office. I mean, my Lord, you can't – I mean, they probably can't have a meeting without having Congress. An extended office. Yeah, exactly. They got a committee there. You got Bob Myers, who's doing TV. He'll probably know. Martin Mayhew, you know, the president, I'm sure he knows. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say 10 people probably do know within the building, all high-level executives that would. And obviously Adam Peters is the one driving the train. But what's interesting about Washington when you break them down is they have so many new faces on this team, right? Mm-hmm. So they've added 6 new offensive starters if they all start, and they've added 6 new defensive starters if they all start. To go along with a bunch of other, they've been the most active team in free agency, no question. Not that they've spent a lot of money, they've added to try to add to the depth of their team. So I think ultimately, when you look at them, they need to get the quarterback and they need to get this offensive line repaired. Now, they signed Allegretti from the Chiefs. They've signed Valdez from the Cowboys, right? And so they still need a guard, whether they put Kozeme in there. They've got Wiley, who they signed last year. But Cornelius Lucas is still their starting left tackle, and that's not good enough, right? So I think, to me, that's where they're going to have to go to repair their team, especially when they go with a young quarterback. Because with Mariota as your backup, the chances of you staying healthy are probably not very good. So if the starter gets hurt, Mariota's probably going to get hurt too. He has a hard time staying in games.
Yeah, the Commanders, and Tim alluded to it in the last segment there, but they have 2 second-round picks, 36 and 40, and then they have 3 third-round picks. So do you anticipate this being a team that moves back into the first round to go ahead and get an offensive lineman? Tim kind of alluded to that, but that could be a way that they address this. Maybe take the quarterback at 2 and then use 36 and 40, or maybe 36 and 67. You kind of package some of those Friday picks to get back in on Thursday.
Well, I think what you have to do is look at the board, right? I don't think he can make that call, because if you have an opportunity, you know, if you're sitting at 36 and you have 4 offensive linemen that you like and there's a team picking at 28, you know, will you get your guy at 36? I think that's the question. Mm-hmm. And or would you be better off? How many players do you have graded? When you're Washington, you can't be in a rush to fill needs because you have so many needs. You have so many needs. You could pick any player off any board and it could probably help your team. So I think, to me, you know, those picks are so important. The fact that they have 6 picks in the top 100 players is more important than getting 2 players in the first round. I think you got to hit with those 6 top 100 picks. You got to have a really good, you get 6 players that have the potential to start and play 4 years within the system. I think that's more important. That's what teams want. You know, teams want to be able to trade down to get 4, 6, 5, 8 picks within the top 100, and Washington already has that.
And then there's the New York Giants. And as we continue through this NFC East deep dive here, heading into the NFL draft 4 days away, the Giants have the number 6 overall pick. They are comfortable, in their own words, general manager Joe Staines said they are comfortable not needing to force a quarterback in this draft. Do you see the Giants going quarterback or wide receivers where the betting market sees them going? They're minus 225 for their first player to be a wide receiver, whether it's Neighbors or Adunze, maybe it's even Harrison. Old lineman, they could always go in that direction as well. But what do you see the Giants doing with number 6? Do they sit pat and they take a guy, or do they try to move up to get a QB, or maybe even move down with some of those QB needy teams sitting just outside the top 10?
Well, I mean, they've spent a lot of time and money on quarterbacks. I mean, they have spent time and money. They have done a complete investigation, and that's not something a team does that feels like they're not going to draft a quarterback. You know, the San Francisco 49ers are watching all the quarterbacks, but they're not spending the amount of time on, because they feel like they have their answer. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little disingenuous of Joe Shane to say that they're content, right? I think if the right guy comes to them, they will pick them. I mean, well, John Mara already said as such. If they fall in love, then I would okay them picking a quarterback. They have so many needs in the offensive line. Now, they try to address them in free agency. They signed Runyon to be the starting right guard. They signed Illuminor from the Raiders to be the right tackle. Is that good enough? Aaron Stinney, they signed to be the left guard. Like, they've tried a lot to repair this offensive line because it hasn't been good. Singletary takes the place of Saquon. I don't know how that would work out. But I think, to me, if they went in any direction, you know, they get Wendell Robinson back at receiver. Jalin Hyatt looked like he's going to be a really good player. Now, Darius Slayton wants to get paid. But I think, to me, they could certainly use a big-time receiver, but they could also use a defensive tackle to go next to Dexter Lawrence, right? They just signed Jordan Phillips in there, and he was hurt most of last year. I think they can go in any direction. I think that's the thing with New York. They can go in any direction. I would lean towards them taking the receiver because I think if Daboll wants to make the quarterback be more productive, he's going to want to try to get more skill around him.
Yeah, I mean, they do need more skill around them, and they could get their pick of the litter of those wide receivers that are there. I would anticipate maybe Harrison's off the board at that point, but you never know. The team could surprise us and take Neighbors before Harrison, and all of a sudden it could be Harrison sitting there for the New York Giants. Their win total sitting at 6.5, same with the Washington Commanders. The other two teams in the division, the Eagles and the Cowboys, their win totals are at 10.5. Philadelphia holds the 22nd overall pick. The Cowboys hold the 24th overall pick. What do those teams need to do in the draft? They're sitting in the back half of the first round where there likely isn't going to be a quote-unquote first-round player available. How do they sort of navigate that?
Well, I think Philly, when you look at what Philly's done this offseason, is they filled every need on their team. They could actually go play a game and be functional and be good enough, right? So, and they put money into it, whether it's Barkley, whether it's re-signing all their players. You know, they have 22, 50, and 53. They have 2 second-round picks, albeit a little bit lower. I would suspect Philly to be a team to try to trade up to get a corner, right? I think they'll trade up to try to get Mitchell if they could, because when you break down the corner market, right, two of the corners are from Alabama, okay? You know, you got Kool-Aid, and you've got Arnold, right? And yep. So, to me, when you watch Alabama on tape, Alabama played more zone than I've ever seen Nick Saban play in his career. And Nick Saban doesn't want to play zone. He wants to play man. But what he's telling you by playing so much zone is that they're not a great man-to-man team. And I know these corners are ranked high by Alabama standards, but I think if you gave Nick truth serum, he would probably say, you know, we've had better corners than here. Now, will they go in the first round? Probably they will. But I think the one corner that you could say would really enhance the Philadelphia Eagle team is Mitchell from Toledo. And I wouldn't be surprised if Howie, knowing that all these draft picks aren't going to make his team, right? He's got 3 picks in the top 55. I think if he could cash one of those picks in to get a legitimate starting corner, a cover corner, and a man-to-man for Vic Fangio, I think he'll do that.
So you like Mitchell more than Terrion Arnold, who was at Alabama. You mentioned Kool-Aid McKinstry. He was at Bama. But Terrion Arnold is another guy who's being talked about as a first round. But you love Mitchell from Toledo, Kenyon Mitchell.
Yeah, and I think the second best corner is Wiggins from Clemson. And there's some stuff that you got to work your way through with Wiggins from Clemson.
All right. Well, that is the draft. There's no perfect prospect. The Dallas Cowboys, I mean, you talked about the Eagles. They filled their needs. The Cowboys, they better hit this draft out the park.
made you upset. They just have made you upset. That's all that they've done.
they really have. Hopefully, they draft well typically. In Will McClay, we trust. But, boy, they're up against it this draft. They really need a grand slam. All right. We'll get to what's on Michael's mind to start hour number 2 here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're a football fan, you need to be subscribed to the GM Shuffle podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever. Also, check it out on the DraftKings Network. It's former NFL executive Michael Lombardi giving his unfiltered opinions on all things NFL. Make sure you check it out throughout the offseason, throughout the regular season, and check it out this week because Mondays and Thursdays we typically have our podcast. We have an NFL Draft Night special, 8 to 11 Eastern time here on the DraftKings Network and on VSiN. It's Michael, Tim Murray, Matt Humans, myself, all 4 of us will be there over the course of the 3 hours breaking down round 1 of the NFL Draft this Thursday. Once again, 8 to 11 Eastern time. And this week in particular, what's special about the podcast, as we welcome you guys back here on the Lombardi Line, we'll have a podcast on Monday, tomorrow morning. We'll have a Wednesday preview podcast to give it a little bit of run out until the draft Thursday night. No pod Thursday. We'll have the special show Thursday night to break down the first round, and then a special Friday podcast to react to everything that we saw Thursday night in the first round. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week, but typically Mondays and Thursdays, still two times a week during the offseason, because there is no offseason in the National Football League. And then we'll, of course, ride into the regular season where we're really throwing 102 at the corner right there in the regular season. I can't wait. It's only April, but I already can't wait for games to actually be played. I saw that they have a line available at DraftKings, Michael, for the Brazil game, the Packers-Eagles game, Eagles favored. Like we're already, the gears are starting to turn, Michael. We're already getting into that mindset. But we got to pick some players, though, first.
It's great. It's a great time of the year. And this is actually week, I track it down. We're at week 11 of the offseason. And American Airlines has added a direct flight from Philadelphia to Brazil so they get all these Eagle fans down there to watch the game in Brazil. And so, but what people don't realize about why Brazil is such an attractive venue for the Packers is because the Packers' colors are basically the Brazilian national sports organization's teams, the soccer, the volleyball, the basketball, etc. So their colors are there. But the Packers emblem is a soccer emblem in Brazil. And one of the most famous moments is the Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers. The broadcaster, Marquez, made the call with an epic command that kind of linked it to Brazil. And so that's why Brazilians love the Packers so much. So even though the Eagles are going to count this as a home game, there's going to be a lot of Brazilians cheering on the Green Bay Packers for reasons unknown until now.
It's a nice break for the Green Bay Packers on the scheduling front, not having to go to the link on like some sort of Sunday night football game where everyone's just absolutely out of their minds. Instead, you get the Eagles on a neutral site, which might be rooting for you out there in Brazil. I can't wait. Friday night football.
And we get a game on Friday. I mean, so we have a Thursday night game. We haven't decided who the Chiefs are going to play. Will Hill's working on that. And then we have a Friday game, and then we'll have the Sunday, Monday. So it'll be great. I mean, what a great weekend. And we got college football on Saturday. I mean, you know, that's the best. It's the best time of the year. We're already in week 11 of the offseason. So we're getting there. I mean, we're moving along.
We are. We're trudging along. Hey, we're just matriculating the ball down the field. That's what we're trying to do here throughout the offseason here on the Lombardi line. But let's go deep dive NFL draft on the NFC North. The Chicago Bears hold the number one overall pick. That's going to be Caleb Williams. But they also hold the ninth overall selection in this NFL draft. They at least had a lot of draft capital. Now they don't have as much after all the moves that they've made there. They traded for Keenan Allen throughout the offseason. They've really improved this roster now with a win total sitting at 8.5. Do you see the number nine pick having to be defense and getting Eberflus another piece for a defense that in the second half of last season really started to turn the corner and play really good football? Or do they try to bolster up an offense and give more toys for Caleb Williams to work with?
I mean, look, they've got Keenan Allen at 18, 19, 20 million. They got DJ Moore at 20 million at receiver. Everybody gives them a receiver at the ninth pick because that's what they have to do. They need more weapons. How about a three technique? How about Byron Murphy at there? Put him in that defensive front, right? They need that. This is something that if you understand what Eberflus does and how he plays defense, it all comes back to the front. And he's been very clear that, you know, getting Sweat was key for him because it gave him an edge rusher, but they need another edge rusher. Like if you're going to win playing the Eberflus scheme, you've got to be dominant up front. And I think they'll take the best pass rusher, whether it's a three technique at Murphy, whether it's Latua, or whether it's Dallas Turner, if he makes it to them. I don't know who they might like, but I think that's where they're going. And that's where they need to go. If I were sitting in the room in Chicago, I'm like, look, like the last thing we want to do, we signed Swift. We traded for Allen. We traded for DJ Moore. Like we got enough weapons here, right? We got enough weapons. We're going to Caleb should be okay. We need to fix the defense. And the best way to help Caleb is to be a good defensive team, especially rushing the passer, which Murphy would give them. And they don't have a really true great three technique on this team. Andre Billings, who they signed from Vegas. They've got Dexter from Florida, who they drafted in the second round last year. But that's it. Like you put Murphy on this front next to Sweat, all of a sudden you got a really good team. I just love how everybody just wants to give him another receiver as if they're the greatest defensive team in football.
Receiver is always the answer for a lot of people's questions. Is just, hey, just get another,
answer.
Just get another receiver. Just get another receiver. Is there a case to be made for maybe bolstering the offensive line? If there's an offensive lineman that they like, then maybe there's a I know they went Darnell Wright at tackle a year ago, but do they want to try to make that a strength, like strengthening a group that is, they've done a lot to sort of try to improve it over the last couple of years, but how about maybe bolstering the O-line and protecting Caleb Williams?
Well, look, they start Braxton Jones at left tackle, fifth round pick in 22, right? So there's no question you can up there. The kid they drafted in 21, that Ryan Pace drafted in 21, Jenkins, you know, they expected him to be the starting left tackle. That hasn't worked out. Last year, they drafted Wright to be the left tackle. They've moved him over to right tackle. So clearly, left tackle is a position of need. And if there's one there, I could see him easily taking that. To me, the decision for Chicago is offensive or defensive line.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's going to be to win the game. And you could make the case they need a left tackle. You could make they need a three technique. They need a defensive end. And if they do that, you know, if they do that, then all of a sudden they become a better defensive team.
What about the Minnesota Vikings, who currently have a win total of 6.5? They have two picks, number 11 and number 23, after they made the trade with the Houston Texans. So they have ammunition to move up. But in the instance that they're not able to move up, do they just sit back and take one of these quarterbacks at 11? I mean, they seem to have quite a bit of needs, but they also have a roster that I don't think is as bad as a win total of 6.5 would imply.
Well, that's true, and I think, but they need a corner desperately, right? I mean, they signed Greenard to replace the Danielle Hunter. That went to, they just kind of switch guys, right? They need an edge player. If there was an edge player there to go along with Greenard, I could see Brian Flores stamping his feet. But they need another corner to go along with Brian Murphy, who they signed from Arizona last year. You know, they drafted Evans in the fourth round in 22. That's not quite the same. You know, they signed Shaq Griffin from Carolina to be another corner to give them some depth, but they need a corner badly. And I can't imagine that Brian's not watched Mitchell and said, man, that's my guy. Or Wiggins. You know, I think that would be the case. I think to me, which is interesting, is there's very limited defensive talent in terms of depth of first round level. And yet everybody has taken everybody, and there's a lot more receivers that you can get in the second and third round, but everybody's taken receivers early and pass it on defensive players. Well, if Minnesota passes on a defensive player and they don't take the quarterback, they're not getting one in the second round that's going to come in and plug and play. But if they took Mitchell at 11, let's say they don't trade up, they're going to get a starting corner. If they took Latua at 11, they're going to get a starting rusher. Like, I don't, or they took Murphy, they're going to get a starting three technique. Like, I don't know how they avoid that.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple, supply and demand, isn't it? Just economics of, hey, there's not a whole lot of these high-end defensive guys. Like, we need to take one now, or we're not getting one at all until maybe on Saturday, where we get some of those guys who are special teams, maybe potentially could turn into starters. So maybe that pushes up some of these defensive guys, and the offensive guys get pushed down a little bit to the back half of the first round there. The Vikings, though, really, really interesting. I think that's the team that everybody has circled as at some point between now and Thursday night is going to do something trade-wise that we'll see here in this NFL draft, locked and loaded with those two first-round picks. The Green Bay Packers, they picked 25th overall. The Detroit Lions picked 29th after going to the NFC title game last year. Both of those teams win total set at 10.5. What do they need to sort of take that next step and get to that tier of the San Francisco 49ers and ultimately contend to go to a Super Bowl?
You know, Green Bay, quickly, I think they could take a corner. Obviously, Stokes hasn't been the answer for them. It'll drive Big Daddy crazy if they take another corner, which I love to death. They could take a rusher. You know, I think offensively they're really good. Their offensive line can pass protect. I don't think they have many needs there. I really don't. You know, and Detroit's the same way. I think at Detroit it's defensive line and corner. I mean, those are the two things that they've tried to improve on. They've improved their defensive tackle position in the offseason this year. You know, what they signed DJ Reader, that gives them help. They signed Marcus Davenport, which may give them help, right? Mm-hmm. They traded for Carlton Davis. They signed Amik Robinson from the Raiders. They need a corner. I think if they could get a corner, but if they get a rusher to go along with Hutchinson, wow, watch out.
Yeah, the Lions, you got to like what they've done. They've built both sides of the trenches. They made that a premium for them, and it's resulted in a lot of wins over the last couple of years there. They were on the doorstep of going to the Super Bowl just a year ago. All right, that does it for the NFL draft. We'll talk some NBA playoffs on the other side, because our buddy NBA senior analyst Jonathan Von Tobel joins us next here on the Lombardi Line to recap what we saw yesterday and to set the table for the four game ones later on today. This is the Lombardi Line.